This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I love how many responses we have already to our question. And here's why I love it. Because as sports fans, we generally draw this hard line in the sand. We root for our teams hard and we hate any other team that stands in our way. And I'm speaking of sports hate, not actual hate. But we can also be generous. We can also be people who, because of our own sports suffering, we would love to see other fan bases finally experience some joy. If our teams are out of it and our teams are not part of the equation, we actually do love a good story. We love the stories as well. And that's always been one of the things that I want my show to be about, is telling the stories. And so I'm big into the redemption. I'm big into teams finally breaking through after years of futility. I think not only does failure make you work harder and make you smarter and make you tougher, but it also makes you appreciate it more when you finally get where you want to go. And that's not just sports, that's also life. And so I love the fact that there are so many of you who are thinking outside your own box, and you are now thinking, oh, I would love it if this fan base or this franchise finally got to experience that joy, unadulterated joy that comes with being a champion. And we know the Washington Nationals are in their first ever World Series. In fact, the franchise, which includes the Expos, in their first ever World Series. And so they're a really popular pick right now. What's a team you could get behind? A team that you would root for simply because you want to see them win. Because it's been so long, they've had so many failures. And it can't be your own team. It needs to be someone else's team, okay? Be generous about it. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, and we'll get right back to your calls here in the next few minutes. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap the deck. Fade right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake. Looking. Floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Brees from the shotgun. Has time. Guns it down the middle. And he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling. Falling down chest high, heavily covered, touchdown catch.
Hey, baby, what a throw by Stafford.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We know there has been a quarterback change. Moving forward to week 7 in the NFL season, we've got a quarterback change for the Tennessee Titans. Now, it may not be a huge surprise considering that Marcus Mariota was benched after 3 quarters of their last game and Ryan Tannehill was given a shot. It didn't go that much better for Ryan Tannehill against the Denver Broncos. The Broncos defense pitched a shutout, but we now have it official from head coach Mike Vrabel. He needs something to spark the offense, because with Mariota running the offense, they've had just 1 touchdown in their past 2 games, which isn't going to get the job done. And so here is Ryan Tannehill at 31 years old. Only thing he's ever known before this season is the Dolphins, but he's about to start for the first time for the Titans.
I'm really excited. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen when I signed here. But, you know, obviously love playing the game, love being on the field, love competing with the guys in this locker room. So really excited to have an opportunity to go out and compete and, you know, hopefully lead this team to wins.
The Titans will be hosting the Chargers in a late afternoon game. Well, it's 3:00 Eastern time in Nashville, but it is the late round of games. For those of you who think about NFL Sundays in 2 particular parts, I always do. So it's Titans hosting the Chargers, and you know, Ryan Tannehill, you have to have a plan, man. So what's the plan?
We got to stay true to who you are, and I think that's that's key. But go out and produce, you know, make plays, take advantage of the opportunities that are there. Don't try to do too much. Really just, you know, play quarterback to the best of my ability. You know, I think if we move the ball and score points, that spark will be there.
Titans and Chargers both at 2-4, both looking for a win. As for the Titans and their identity, sure, you want to have a quarterback who can move the football, but they have shown they are most competent offensively when they are running the football. The ground and pound, give that defense a blow, give that defense an opportunity to rest, and generally that D is physical and tough. Something's got to give, Titans and Chargers. And, of course, Marcus Mariota is always just an injury or a snap away, as is any backup quarterback. But for the first time, not because of injury, he's been sidelined by the team that drafted him.
I had an opportunity to play, and I didn't make the most of it. And, you know, I'm going to learn and grow from it. This is an opportunity for me to grow as a person and as a player. And I'm going to do everything I can to help Ryan and help the team out. To the day that I die, I believe that I gave it all that I got. And, you know, no matter what, I can learn and grow from this situation. This isn't going to bring me down. This isn't going to, you know, end my career. This is an opportunity for me to grow, and I'm going to make the most of it.
So Mariota will be holding a clipboard, and we'll see whether or not the Titans require his services again. As a backup quarterback, you always have to stay ready, and if you're not ready, then you're not doing your job. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Perfect segue to the Miami Dolphins, who are also making a quarterback change. So Ryan Tannehill was traded to Tennessee. Ryan Fitzpatrick was brought in to be kind of a stopgap yet again. Josh Rosen got an opportunity. I don't know if it was a valid one. Who knows if Josh Rosen is ever going to be a starting quarterback. Certainly elite is probably not, it's not even necessary, but it's not on the table. But even just a competent, consistent starting quarterback, because the two places that he's been in, they've been disasters. They've been in the midst of rebuilding projects, and I'm not sure he's gotten a fair shake. But Brian Flores is now going back to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oi, I don't know if this one sticks or not, but I do know that Fitzpatrick is always ready because he knows this is what happens wherever he goes.
I'm excited. And you know, I told you guys earlier, I just enjoy playing football. So I like being out there. It's a lot more fun for me, you know, whether it's throughout the week or on Sunday in the game, to be out there and be playing and, you know, preparation. It's a lot more fun when you're the guy.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun when you're the guy. The only quarterback in NFL history ever to start and throw a touchdown for 8 different franchises. But then there's Josh Rosen. Now, they, of course, went to Josh Rosen against the Dallas Cowboys, and he started the next 3 games before this debacle against the Redskins. Pair of picks, 5 sacks. But still, there is a chance they could flip back to Rosen. And so that relationship in the quarterback room between Fitz and Rosen is definitely important.
One of the most important things in doing that is just the open communication, you know, in our relationship. And, you know, I think, and he had even said, like, he's cheering for me when I'm in there, and I'm cheering for him. We want to win, and we want what's best for the team. I think that's an important thing, to be open about it and to talk about it rather than to, you know, avoid it and let it be an elephant in the room.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have to see each other every day, and they have to help one another. And so now it's Rosen's turn. I think we haven't seen the last of him there because the Dolphins spent a second-round pick to land him when they traded for him with the Cardinals. Now, he didn't win the job in the preseason, but maybe that was to be expected. He needs some teaching. He needs some coaching. He needs some time. He needs to be on a team where the offensive line is going to protect him a little, but also where there is some steadiness. And that's just not either Arizona or Miami right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. As for the Pittsburgh Steelers, let's shift our attention now to the AFC North. They believe that they will have Mason Rudolph starting once again come week number 7.
Mason Rudolph is progressing nicely. Technically, he's still in the concussion protocol, but really is no extreme urgency in terms of getting him out of the protocol because we don't work again until Monday.
Oh, damn.
He's been fully clear to participate in the things that we've been doing. He would have been a full participant had we choose to work out today. So it's probably semantics or whatever in terms of him getting clearance. But when he does, we'll inform you and we won't speculate any further than what I just did.
I love Mike Tomlin. And yes, I had just remembered, as I had you hear from Tomlin, I remember the Steelers are on a bye this week, as are the Cleveland Browns. So two of the teams from the AFC North. But it's good for Mason Rudolph. And later Tomlin goes on to say, we appreciate everything Duck has done for us, meaning Devlin Hodges, but Mason Rudolph is our quarterback. So if you're looking for a controversy after the Steelers won at the Chargers, well, Tomlin squashed that really quickly on Wednesday. As for Baker Mayfield, again, the Browns have a bye too. Their general manager, John Dorsey, speaking out and defending his quarterback, even though the Browns are at 2-4 and have not won a game in Cleveland.
To master the quarterback position is very hard. You just can't go up and show up and do it. I mean, there's a lot involved in this. He's in his second year. And right now, defensive coordinators are probably throwing different looks that he hasn't seen. But Baker's one of those guys that, you know, he's smart enough. He's not going to make the same mistake twice. So he's learning from that.
You know, it's kind of crazy. In the AFC North, and the Browns have already beaten the Ravens in Baltimore, only Baltimore is above 500. And so with that 4-2 record and Lamar Jackson coming off an historic weekend in which he became only the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to pass for 200-plus yards and rush for 150 in a single game. He was actually featured in my weekly column. The Ravens have that 4-2 mark, but the Browns and Steelers are just two games back. And they have the bye this week, so it gives them a chance to regroup and get healthy. But that division is nowhere near being decided, of course. It's Week 7. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, we will kick off Week 7 with the Chiefs and the Broncos. Now, this was taking place in Denver. Kansas City may be happy to get away from home because they dropped back-to-back games at Arrowhead Stadium. Meanwhile, the Broncos have won two games in a row, though they are still two games behind the Chiefs in the AFC West.
There were certain times at Texas Tech when we didn't do the things that we wanted to as an offense to find ways to win. Like you said, I've definitely been through adverse times when I was in college of not winning the games that I felt like we could have won. And then I think my first year here, whenever the team went through a little stretch where they weren't winning games, was something that I could always follow. I can look back upon and realize that it's a long season. You can figure it out. And that team, my rookie season, started hot, had a few games they didn't like it, and then they kind of picked it back up as the season went on.
You always know who you're going against, you know, as a team, and it's always in the back of your head. But I really do think the best way to win football games is to focus on, you know, what you're doing, and everything else will take care of itself.
Joe Flacco is so chill, and it helps when the Broncos have won two games in a row. Any team that's finally got a win that started out in a big hole, such a different atmosphere when you show up to work. And the Broncos have the chance first to host the Chiefs there. The defense is playing extremely well, even without Bradley Chubb. They've had back-to-back really strong games, finally getting to opposing quarterbacks, producing turnovers. And the Chiefs, this is a team that we've seen now the blueprint for them. Two consecutive losses against two teams in the Texans and the Colts who controlled the ball, who controlled that time of possession and kept the football away from Patrick Mahomes. Can the Broncos do that with their run game? So Phillip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, Joe Flacco, of course, it means not turning the ball over. Can they also force Pat Mahomes and the offense to sit and watch from the sidelines, which limits the damage that high-powered, high-octane offense can do? So good questions going into week number 7. That's the latest for the quarterback news around the NFL. And we will continue to take your phone calls now. 855-212-4227. Your answers, even just glancing at them on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. I love it. Love, love, love that you are generous of spirit, sports fans. And there are teams out there that are not your own that you would love to see finally win a title. So either on Twitter or Facebook, and then again, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I can't ask Chris and Dave this question because I don't feel like they would play by the rules. I feel like I would get Knicks and Jets, but the point is it's a team other than your own that you're rooting for to win. But if it makes you guys feel any better, there are people on Facebook who are saying the Jets definitely need to win something. Finally, it's been a while. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. With the Nationals appearing in their first ever World Series, what other teams in any sport would you root for simply because you want to see them break through? Because you feel bad for how many years they've run into a brick wall. And I'm proud of you. How many tweets and Facebook posts now I've seen for the Detroit Lions. I don't know if Monday exacerbated that situation. No, the NFL is not dead set against the Lions being a winner. In fact, I think it would be great because it's one of their long franchises, their long tenured franchises from the NFC North, where we got such great rivalries. And so I disagree with you that the NFL has anything against the Lions. Martha Ford is, what was she, 97 now? So they would like to see her win a title or win something before she's not here on this planet anymore. Although my Grammy's 97 and a half and she's still going strong. So the Lions are a popular pick, to be sure. The teams that you would like to see succeed, even if they are not your teams. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Really quickly, just want to mention this because I follow Jim Cantore of the Weather Channel on Twitter. And I knew that this nor'easter was hitting parts of eastern New England because I heard it on my way into work. Apparently in Provincetown, which is on the end of Cape Cod, they're having 90 mile per hour winds, wind gusts specifically. But in other parts of Mass, same thing. Really, really brisk winds up in the 70s and 80 mile per hour range. And in Massachusetts right now, there are 180,000 people or 180,000 homes, businesses, without power. In Rhode Island, 35,000. Those are the latest numbers from Jim Cantore. And some of you have indicated to me that you can't hear us right now on our Boston affiliate, 93.7 WEI. So we're far more concerned about the people who are losing power than we are about our radio signal. But if that's the case, you can always catch us on radio.com or on Sirius XM 206. Let's talk to Jared, who's in Ventura, California. What teams do you root for, Jared?
I am a huge from birth St. Louis Cardinals fan from the St. Louis area. Mm-hmm. But I had a friend, like forever friend, quite a bit older than me, that was a Chicago Cubs fan. You know, probably double my, I'm 27 now, so I'd say like when he passed, he was about like 54. And he died in 2014. And I was so excited when the Cubs finally won the World Series in 2016 for him. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, it's a Cardinals rival, everything, it was pretty exciting finally since 1908 to see our rival, the Cubs, win, to kind of bring that, you know, rivalry back to life.
Yes.
I just thought it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and they had been knocking on the door too, right? They had been in the NLCS the year before against the Mets, and they'd had just some high-profile failures, so it was really good to see them finally break through, and there were so many people who were cheering for them too, which I appreciated, because it was really a story and a World Series, especially against the Indians, that so many people were tuned into.
No, for sure, and I always appreciate, like, I miss, even though I'm out here in California now, I miss that, like, camaraderie rivalry that the Cardinals-Cubs had. It was a respectful rivalry, and it was just a blast to go to those games. That's why I was rooting for the Dodgers to beat the Nationals, so I could see a game at Dodger Stadium of my Cardinals for the last time in, like, 3 or 4 years since I've been back to St. Louis.
Yeah. Oh, well, that didn't work out. The Nats did not comply.
It didn't work out for either of us.
Right. All right, Jared.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks so much for your phone call. Let's talk to Paul, who's in Kansas City. Welcome to After Hours.
Well, good morning, Super Amy. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, Amy, I got a quick couple comments to make real quick. Number one, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and the Lions, I would love to see that paper lion back in the old day get broken. And, you know, if only the Kansas City Chiefs had the defense, that the defensive mentality of those guys, God, they should have beat us. But my question is Patrick Mahomes, do you think he's on a roll to potentially win a second MVP? And before I let you go, I did want to do a shout-out for baseball, and I'm going to be very ambiguous about this. But I don't know if I'm the only one thinking this, but Bryce Harper, it's such an enjoyment to see the Nationals in the World Series for the first time. And maybe I'm sounding obtuse, and I don't mean it that way, but it's good that he's not there. There's just something about that. So I wonder what he's thinking right now. But I just want to get your take on the Chiefs mm-hmm. and Patrick Mahomes. So I sure appreciate you, and you have a wonderful day, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Paul. Good to talk to you in Kansas City. I mean, I think I would have said that he was probably one of the front runners, along with, let's say, Christian McCaffrey. Russell Wilson right now appears to be the top guy for MVP, though it's only week six. But he won in the category, Mahomes, except for these last two games. So these last two have been tough. Obviously, against the Texans, the Chiefs came out like a house on fire. And Tyreek Hill gets that 46-yard cannon shot from Mahomes right at the goal line for a touchdown. That was their opening drive. But then after the first quarter, they really stumbled and fell. And Mahomes had an interception and a fumble in the second quarter. And the Texans ended up winning against the Indianapolis Colts. He was hobbled, and the offense really went nowhere. So I think the last 2 weeks have kind of hurt that. Though I think for sure there's a long way to go. As for Bryce Harper, I hope that he's happy for his former teammates. I get that there's a competitive fire, and I would feel the same. I'm just going to flat out admit it. I might be happy for people. I wouldn't be happy for the franchise, and no amount of money would make me feel better. That's a poor substitute for finally achieving a dream that you've worked so hard for and watching people that you labored alongside achieve that dream without you. That one stings. I mean, it's like watching an ex happily marry someone else so soon after you broke up. There's no doubt it doesn't sting. No doubt it stings, excuse me. And also it happened on his birthday, right? So, I mean, Wednesday was Bryce Harper's birthday. So that's just a weird, ironic twist. I told everyone. I mean, I did a CBS Sports Minute on it. I just can't believe it. Maybe someday he will get to celebrate a trip to the World Series for his birthday. But in 2019, he's got to be happy for his former teammates. But I'll guarantee you he's not happy for the organization as a whole. All right, you can find me on Twitter. I love all of your responses. This is so good. Adriana says, Detroit Lions for shiz. Did I pronounce that right? For shiz. And that's a popular pick, to be sure. Robert says, in the NBA, the Sacramento Kings, and a city that once had a Canadian Football League team. Obscure, but true. let's see, another tweet. If you want me to read your name, you have to attach your name to it. But this is the Houston Texans. I've been watching every game since their expansion season in 2002. They've never even been to the AFC Championship before, so the Super Bowl still feels like a dream 17 years later. However, with Deshaun Watson's emergence at quarterback, it's realistic. Let's see. Aaron says the Browns. Cliff says if the Jets are not going to turn it around, I want to see the Lions win the Super Bowl. Some of the best people I've ever known are Detroit fans, and I want to see them happy in this lifetime. Zach says, I'll say Lee Westwood or KJ Choi winning a major in golf, Chargers in the Super Bowl, and then Seton Hall winning an NCAA championship in college basketball. Another tweet. Seriously. The New York Knicks. I like the use of seriously. It's one of my words that I drop in. Edward on Twitter. San Diego Padres is my pick. Two appearances, came up empty. I wasn't around for the St. Louis Browns, but they are my Browns. Neither team has ever won. And then, let's see, some of you weighing in for the Redskins. Ryan says, even though I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, which alleviates some pain from being a Cleveland Browns fan, I'd pick the Blue Jackets. And let's see, one more. Gary says the Blue Jays. Jeff says, the Chiefs, two Super Bowls from the AFL, but they haven't won an AFC title. So that's some of your collective responses on Twitter. We'll get to some of your responses on Facebook as well. So the team, or I guess if you want to put an individual in there, whether it's golf, whether it's tennis, another sport.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here's the 2-1, and it's going to get away from Sanchez and go to the screen. Altuve will score on the wild pitch. Back-to-back pitches by Zach Britton in the dirt. And that one finally gets away, and the Astros score and make it 3-0.
Now here's the 3-2. Swung on, a high fly to left. Gardner is there to make the catch and throws toward third. So it's a sack fly and an RBI as Brantley scores, and Houston now takes a 4-0 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There were a couple home runs for the Astros in game three, but they were solo shots. Early, Jose Altuve and Josh Reddick, or as one announcer called him this week, and I don't remember. I think I remember which one it was, but it doesn't matter. So I'm not going to say the name in case I'm wrong. But he called him J.J. Redick, which I thought was really funny. And there was no recognition to it. Just J.J. Redick, and went right back to what he was doing. Because that's so something that I would do. Absolutely something that I would do. In fact, I've done it before. And so it was Josh Reddick, Jose Altuve, the early shots off Luis Severino. But then really it was more of the small ball, kind of scraping together the runs. And Zach Britton with a couple of wild pitches that allowed the Astros' third run to score. And then a sacrifice fly. Just the Yankees could not answer and left so many guys on base against not just Gerrit Cole, but against the couple of guys out of the bullpen for the Astros. So they are now two wins away from the World Series. And their hashtag on Twitter that gets the logo is take it back. So they were there 2017, and a lot of people were cheering for them because of Hurricane Harvey. It was months later, and because of the fact that they'd never won in their franchise history, and they'd have three consecutive seasons of 100 losses not that long ago, early 2000s. So there were a lot of people who were pulling for them, like the Chicago Cubs in 2016 with that century plus of futility. So here are the Nationals now appearing in their first World Series as a franchise, which includes their tenure as the Expos. I know a lot of people are excited to see if they can finally win it. I love these breakthrough stories. What team would you like to see breakthrough? Not your own, but another one that you would get on board with just because you kind of feel like it's time and it would be a cool story. We're a sucker for cool stories. Otherwise, we wouldn't go to the movies and look for the happy endings. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and on our Facebook page named after the show. Robert is listening in Houston. Welcome to After Hours, Robert. Robert apparently thought he was calling to put in his order at Starbucks and got that wrong. Arnold is in Pittsburgh. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you so much for taking my call this morning. I love the show. Long time fan.
Cool.
Long time listener. You know, the NFL, I wanted to throw something out there that I thought has been very interesting early on in the season, were the names for MVP candidates. I happen to think this is one of the more exciting years in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, when you talk about who they've put out there, names, mostly quarterbacks, but for MVP, NFL MVP. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that whole topic as who you might think would pull out, or who's a dark horse, or if you think there's a lock for anyone, which...
No, not okay. In week six, there's no lock for anyone. I mean, Pat Mahomes started out like a house on fire, and the Chiefs offense has done a whole lot of nothing in the last 2 weeks.
Well, what do you think about a running back or a defensive player? And a running back, I think, is obvious, McCaffrey from Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
As far as a defensive player, you know, I'll be honest, I was probably a goof on my part, but, you know, I guess a defensive lineman this year. I'm not sure who's leading the league in sacks. I thought it was Watt, but I'm pretty sure I'm wrong. J.J. Watt, not T.J. Watt.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, I got you.
But I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay. I appreciate that, Arnold, in Pittsburgh. I would just mention this to another one of our callers who asked about potentially Patrick Mahomes as MVP. Now, Mahomes still leads the league in yardage with 2,100 passing yards. Right now, I feel like among the quarterbacks, though, Russell Wilson, because he's been so efficient, hasn't thrown an interception yet. Did mention Christian McCaffrey. In terms of the sacks, Shaquille Barrett right now is tied with Myles Garrett. So Barrett and Garrett. Oh, that's kind of cute. They could actually be twins if those were their first names, Barrett and Garrett. If I ever have twins, I'll consider those names. Anyway, so those are your top two. I don't know if a defensive player will ever win it. Who knows? Maybe there's one out there that breaks the record for sacks. Maybe there's one out there that kind of does that. Aaron Donald, certainly a force to be reckoned with. I love Luke Kuechly. I think he's fantastic and so consistent. So we'll see. Generally, it is a quarterback or a running back, though. How about a wide receiver? Anybody? Anybody? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Who are the teams, the dark horses, the also-rans, the jokes? We're talking about the punchline to the jokes in sports. Who are those teams that you would like to see breakthrough and win? Brian is listening in Maryland.
Yeah, hi, Amy.
Hello.
I have to go with Detroit Lions after... I'm going on 65, and I never thought much about it until I saw the documentary with, remember George Plimpton?
I mean, not personally, but I know
okay.
The name.
Okay, well, he did like a kind of a semi-movie that he wanted to play with the Lions for a short time. And that was some team. They had Alex Karras and, what was it, the Night Train Lane, and it was a cast of characters. Anyway, it was still a horrible team, but it was a wonderful documentary. And ever since I watched that, I followed Detroit, and I was always rooting for them because they were always the underdog. And
I would just love to see Barry Sanders be happy. I would love to see he still loves the franchise, and I would love it for Barry Sanders, for certainly from Matthew Stafford, but as you point out, there are many Lions who have been part of a dubious history and a history with a lot of failure in it.
And then old Arix, he got the slap for that gambling suspension, and I have to laugh about that because now gambling's legal across the board, and who knows what's going to go on with that. But
wait, across the board, it's legal in some states. It's not legal everywhere.
Well, it's legal enough now to have some aberrations as far as legalization goes, let's put it that way. I mean, I know it's supposed to be well regulated, but I think just about anybody that bets on sports gambling is a little suspicious about how their games and their wagers turn out. So I hope that it stays up and above board, but I just have to laugh after I saw that documentary, and I keep thinking about it because I wish everyone would get a chance to see that because that was really well done, and he was a great guy, George Plimpton. I was sorry to see him pass away.
All right, sir. Well, the Detroit Lions are certainly a popular pick. Thanks so much for your phone call, Brian.
Okay, take care, Amy.
Charity is in Ohio. Welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Hey, Amy.
Hey, do you have an answer?
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I've been a big Buffalo Bills fan for a long time.
No, it's supposed to be someone else's team, not your team.
I know, ma'am. Nobody's talking about, the Bills. So
well, I tweeted about them. I said the Bills because of Jim Kelly. I want Jim Kelly to realize a Super Bowl win while he's still on this earth. So I already did, for sure.
But I do want to see the Bills win in my lifetime. I'm actually driving up to Buffalo from Youngstown Sunday to go to the game to root for my team.
Youngstown.
So
I love Youngstown. Say hello to my family, will you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I also love your missions work, too. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. So you're going to the game.
Fan. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to the game on Sunday. I've just been a big Bills fan for years, and only thing that's holding us back, in my opinion, because I watch every snap of the Bills every Sunday, is Josh Allen. If he can just, cut down on the turnovers, I believe we can go 11-5 looking at our schedule. But, it's been a lot of years of just, agonizing and anguish being a Bills fan. It was, mm-hmm. we're finally 4-1, but I'm not getting too excited because we've gone 4-1 before I finished the season, you know, with a losing record. But I think this is a different Bills team under a new regime with Bean and McDermott. So it's all up to Josh Allen. Just don't turn the ball over. He makes so many boneheaded plays. We should be undefeated if he didn't throw those, you know, three.
I mean, Josh Allen got knocked out of the game against the Patriots. How can you blame him for the end? They're still at an opportunity. They still had an opportunity at the end with Matt Barkley had the ball in his hands. I mean, it's not all on one guy. It's a team sport. It's not all on Josh Allen. I agree with you about the turnovers, but he's not the only one who turns the ball over.
Yeah, but some of those interceptions were just killer. You can't do that against New England. And we got a dominating – I think we have a championship defense with a subpar offense. If he just cuts down on his turnovers, I believe we can actually make some noise finally this year with New England and Brady getting older.
We'll see. They'll have another opportunity for sure if they want to shake up the AFC East. All right, Charity, thanks so much for your phone call. Drive safe.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you.
855-212-4227. Shannon says, you guys are not supposed to be rooting for your own team, but I'll allow this one because a lot of people are saying the Pittsburgh Pirates. So my hometown Pittsburgh Pirates, he says on Twitter. Looking at Facebook, these are some real good ones. Scott says, Sacramento Kings. I think 1951 was the last championship for this franchise. Anthony says, as a Packer fan and in lieu of Monday's game, I will say the Detroit Lions. let's see. Eric, other than my Raiders, I also want to see the Texans go to and win a Super Bowl. Kevin posts one that is definitely something in my heart. It's definitely a team that I mean, I want to see them win so badly, but to the point where I get so frustrated about it that I almost can't watch. The U.S. men's soccer team win the World Cup. Oh, absolutely. Now, a couple of years ago, I did a show in which I asked you, what is the sports feat that you would most like to see in your lifetime? And number one was the U.S. men win a World Cup. Number two was a Triple Crown, which we saw right after that with Justify. Was it Justify? Which was the one, the horse that won first? It wasn't Justify. It was the other one. Justify was the most recent one, right? But there was one before that. Shoot, why can't I remember his name? American Pharoah. Thank you. I just remembered that. Even as Chris got in my ear. So American Pharoah won right after that. So now, and the Cubs won the World Series, which is another popular pick. So now we want to see the U.S. men win a World Cup. Daniel says, I'll say Ricky Fowler in the golf world. I think he deserves to win. Charles on Facebook, the Jets. The Jets. Okay, how about the Knicks? Mike says maybe not a team, but Phillip Rivers. And then Nick says absolutely the San Jose Sharks. All right, we got 1 hour to go after hours on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.